Good morning. Hey, Brad, don't leave. Did you dress me, Dad? I wasn't exactly sure. They've changed these things on me.
I wasn't sure how they fit.
I feel like Spock or something like that. It's crazy. Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4:11. Obviously, Jay is gone. Jay and Faith are on a much-deserved vacation with their family down in Florida, so we'll be keeping them in prayers. Hope for a safe return for them soon. All right. I've got a computer up here. This is the first time I've ever done this with a computer. I do not trust technology, so I also have my notes, and I've got my Bible, so we'll see how this goes. Yeah, Jay and Faith are gone. You guys are stuck with me today. My name is Jason Whittle, for those who don't know me. If you are brand new here, we just want to say we're excited you're here. We're excited to have new people walk through these doors. We're also excited if this isn't your first time here. And as Brian said, we want to give a shout-out to the people who are online. It has been a huge blessing this year to be able to. We actually, as Jay alluded to, we missed 7 weeks. Of being in attendance together, but our online, our live YouTube feed, or our live Facebook feed, and then our YouTube has been a huge blessing to be able to go ahead and do that and feel somewhat connected. I know that as a family, we've benefited from that. You know, if we've traveled or if somebody's feeling sick, to be able to go ahead and continue to be somewhat engaged, being able to sit in our living room in our PJs and tune in. And so a big shout out to our group of people back there that keep that going every week. I do want to remind us, at some point, Lord willing, everything's going to hopefully go back to normal, that we'll be able to worship together safely where everyone, even if you're compromised, hopefully we'll be able to get into a spot where we're all able to come together. Because at the end of the day, Sunday mornings weren't meant to be online. We were meant to be part of something bigger. We're part of a community of believers where we can come together, encourage one another, get in the trenches together, do life together, live out our faith. And again, I'm not talking about right now, because right now there's obviously some things that we've got to overcome. There's still safety issues. So if you're at home, I want to continue to be online. I'm not saying that, but at some point, Lord willing, when we're able to come back together, I hope that we will. If you're watching from somewhere else, I hope that you find a church in your own community that's a great church that you can get plugged into to love on other believers, to be loved on by other believers. Because at the end of the day, you know, we weren't created to worship in isolation. You know, God created us to do this, to be a part of something bigger, and to love on each other and to serve one another. So until that day, keep joining us in your PJs. Not sure when that'll happen, but at some point, hopefully it will. So, it's a new year, 2021. It's crazy. We are getting ready to start the book of James. We're excited to start that journey. Next week, when Jay gets back, we're going to kind of dive into that. And I'm excited. I'm excited for that journey. But at the same time, I don't know if you're like me, but if you're like me, I like to, at the beginning of every year, I like to just kind of take a step back and reflect on the past year. The victories, the failures, the process. Where did you start the year? Where did you finish? We do it every year in our business, and Natalie and I usually do it with our family as well. And I think it's a good idea from a spiritual aspect as well. You know, we want to look back and reflect, what has God done in my life? Where have I grown? Where am I struggling? If we don't stop for a second and reflect, I think that sometimes we miss the things that God intended for us to see. It's hard to see sometimes when you're in the middle of things exactly what God's doing. So this is a perfect time of year to, if you haven't done this, to just kind of take a step back and think about the things that God has done or is doing in your life. And I know for a lot of us, 2020 can't be in the rear view fast enough. But as you think back, I hope that you can look back and find some positive things as well. I know that as I was reflecting back, as crazy as COVID was and as awful as it is, there were some really awesome things, at least for our family, that came out of that. The slower schedules, not having a million different kids going in different directions, all the different sports stuff. Our kids were home from school. We went back to a season of life that I thought we were over with. We got to have our college kids back, and we got to have our kids all at home for months and months and months. No, it was awesome. I loved it. It was. I thought we were past that season of life, and we got to go back to it for a minute. And so it was really, really cool. And there were some really cool things that came out. I want you to take a minute and just reflect on that, because I hope that it put into perspective, or put back into perspective, some things that were important, and put into perspective things that maybe truly weren't that important. As a church, there were some really cool things that happened. Lots of things are happening back with the kids, as Brian alluded to. But as a church, we finished the book of Ephesians in August. It took us a year and a half. Nobody's going to cheer for that. I thought for sure we'd get some cheers. It was an unbelievable series. Jay did a great job of walking us through that. I learned a ton. I hope that you did. The title was Sit, Walk, Stand. They were called to sit with Jesus in the heavenly realms, to first and foremost, just sit at his feet and rest, to spend time with him. And then once we do that, once we're in that spot, then we're able to walk, that we're able to walk in a way that's worthy, that we're able to walk out into the world and look different than the rest of the world. And then when we're able to do that, then we're able to stand against the enemy. Sit, walk, stand. It was an awesome, awesome, deep journey, a challenging one. COVID hit in April or March, whenever it was. And Jay did these talks. I don't know if you saw them, but you can get back online. Jay did these talks every day. He started in April. He did them for 3 months. And they're just 8 to 10 minute talks. It's a great way to start your day. If you're driving to school, if you're driving to work, I would encourage you just to listen to one of those a day, because there's great little nuggets in there. And then the second half of the year, we spent time in Psalm 23. We sat down with David and listen to his psalm that he wrote, and dissected the psalm that he wrote. The title of that was, Because the Lord is My Shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I treat my sheep a different way. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm able to shepherd in a way that is worthy. And for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, I'm not sure we've done a study that has really impacted me like that one. It caused me to really, really look at my relationships of where I'm called to shepherd, my role as a father and a husband, my work relationships, my role here at church. For me, it was really powerful. I hope it had that same effect. If you didn't get to see it, again, it's one of the great things about technology. You can go back and look at those things. And so although there were certain challenges in 2020, there was also some fantastic stuff that happened. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you just in awe of your goodness. We thank you for this last year, even though there was challenges, even though there was things that were scary or just awful, Lord. We know that you're in control. We know that you are in control of it all. We know that you love us. We know that you have great things to come. We know that that you are doing everything for a purpose, that you are weaving together relationships here and things that happen in this world for you. And I just pray that you'd put us in a spot this morning. I pray that you would prepare our hearts just to to speak to us. We thank you so much. We thank you for loving us. We thank you most of all for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You guys thought I was done, didn't you? You guys thought that, like, just for a second, you thought I was done. You were excited. You were like, that is the shortest message ever. We're going to, can't wait to get to El Cap. I know some of you were excited. And I thought about it. I thought that ended, or that went not too bad so far, so I should have stopped while I was ahead. But that's not what we're talking about. One of the things that I do as I'm getting ready to prepare for a message is I just spend a lot of time praying. I pray about, I just kind of go before God and ask him what I should teach on. I ask him a few different questions. And one of the questions I ask is, you know, God, what do I need to hear? What's going on in my heart? What do we need to hear? What does our church need to hear? And one of the questions that I spend a lot of time on is, if I could tell my kids one thing, what would it be? And that's changed over the years. As their faith has grown and kind of become their own, it's not the same message that I want them to hear, but it's still a question that I ask God. What do I really want them to get? What do we need to get? What do we need to really understand? And as I prayed through that, our mission statement kept coming up. And Nathan, if you throw that mission statement up there. Mission statement, if you guys don't know it, the Potter's House exists to be the church by making Christ-committed followers who will make Christ-committed followers in our community and around the world through relevantly teaching and living the pure Word of God. Let's read it one more time. The Potter's House exists to be the church by making Christ-committed followers who will make Christ-committed followers in our community and around the world through relevantly teaching and living the pure Word of God. So, as I'm reading that and I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, that's hard. Like, who came up with that? Why is that our mission statement? I mean, it sounds good, but at the end of the day, it's not really very easy, is it? I mean, we're talking about discipling people. We're talking about taking people who don't know Christ and turning them into followers of Christ, and then those people turn around and do the same thing. That's messy. It's time-consuming. It's selfless. If you do it right, you have to do life together. So I was thinking about that. I was also thinking, so who's going to make these Christ-committed followers, and how? You know, is that Jay's job? I vote for Jay. I don't know if you do, but is that Jay's job? And I'm glad you asked. If you go to Facebook or Instagram, well, let's look it up. I'm just kidding. Sorry. We've been talking a little bit about social media. Let's look at God's Word, right? Because that's where we're going to find our answers. If you go to Ephesians 4:11 through 13, let's pull that up. Okay. Says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Keep going. Oh, sorry. Is that all you got? Let me just read out of here. It'll be a little easier, and you guys can follow along up there. Okay. Gosh, my eyes are getting bad. It was he who gave some to the apostles, so he is Christ. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining in the whole measure in the fullness of Christ. So, a quick understanding of kind of what's going on here. So Jesus loves his church, right? So the church is God's bride. It's Jesus' bride. He came down, he gave his life for her, he loves her, and he has gifted her these offices or these men, these apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the elders or pastors and teachers, depending on which version you're reading. But he's gifted these men to the church for the benefit of the church to equip, it says, to equip the church. In some, it says to equip the saints. And I'm not sure if you remember, but Jay actually spoke on this passage back all the way back in November of 2019. And if you remember, he was kind of talking about a rhythm that would take place in the early church, a rhythm of how God was building his church. And so Paul and Silas would go to places where there were unreached people. They wouldn't necessarily go to where there was a place where there was already a church set up. They'd go to places that didn't know the good news about Jesus. And so they would do there, and then they would come, they would share the good news, and Timothy and Titus then would come in behind them, and they would actually stay behind them, because once Paul and Silas gave the good news, then they would go ahead and leave, and Timothy and Titus would stay there, and they would disciple the people. And then they would help set up. They would set up elders. They would kind of forge this new church. They would kind of set up this new church. And Paul and Silas would have already left and found another unreached group. And then sometime later, Timothy and Titus would catch up to them, and they would disciple and set up the new church. And this rhythm would just kind of, this process would just kind of happen over and over again. And then the elders would be left behind to finish equipping the other believers. Jay likened it to a baseball team, you know, kind of a first batter, a second batter, a third batter, and then the fourth, kind of the cleanup. And the elders were left behind to equip the other believers for the work of ministries, and that process would continue. It wasn't to stop there. This wasn't just for the church. It was to go and find people and to then disciple those people and to equip those people and those people. It was this process, and that was God's plan for his church. That's how he was going to grow his church. In that same message, we looked at Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, and these talk about the gifts of the Spirit, which it's a handy little deal you can remember. If you're looking for the gifts of the Spirit, you ever want to look for that, it's in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. They're like, they're right beside each other, really easy to find. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. Okay. All right. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So each gift of the Spirit is given for the common good. You see, we all have gifts, not for our own benefit, but for the church. Each one of us is uniquely wired by God and gifted through the Holy Spirit. God's designed me for specific tasks and specific jobs. God's created you for specific tasks and for specific jobs. Not, again, not for my own personal gain and not for your own personal gain, but for the benefit of the church. And so we have to ask ourselves, we have to stop and ask ourselves, are we doing the things that God has gifted? Are we doing the things that God has designed us to do? Because God's plan was not and is not for the pastors and the leaders of the church to go and make all the disciples. It was to equip the saints or to empower everyone who is a part of the church to do that. The same God, the same Holy Spirit that equipped Peter and Paul and Silas and Timothy and Titus is the same that empowers each one of us to go out and do the ministry ourselves. It is not Jay's responsibility. And if we're honest, if we're really honest, and if we look around, it doesn't really feel like that's happening, does it? Not very effectively. And so I'm going to just share with you, forgive me if you know me, but a little bit of my background is I think it gives me somewhat of a unique perspective of kind of what's going on or what's not happening. So in my past life, I played in the NFL for 11 years, and before that, I played football at Southwest Missouri State, now MSU. And my first year at Missouri State, I was redshirted. And what that basically means is you're not good enough to play, so they're going to not allow you to play in the games, and all you're going to do is practice. You're going to hold dummies. You're going to be a big – all you're going to do is practice every day. You don't get to dress – most of the time you don't get to dress out. Most of the time you don't get to travel. You don't get the joy of being in a game. You don't get the joy of scoring touchdowns or making a tackle. You're just practicing every day. It's awful. That's why so many college athletes quit. It's those first few years are hard because all you're doing is practicing. You're never getting the joy. And what's crazy is I actually ended up getting to play some. And then once I got in the NFL, like the same thing happened. My first year, I was on what is called the practice squad. So there was five guys on the practice squad, and all we did was practice. And again, never got to play in any games. Didn't get to travel with the team usually. Didn't get to dress out and just practice. It was awful. It's terrible. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but it's not fun. It's kind of like, imagine if you were a teacher and all you ever did was prepare lesson plans, but you never actually got to teach kids. Or maybe you're a builder and all you ever did was you just went around and got bids all day, but you never actually got to build anything. Or maybe you were a doctor or a nurse, and all you did was study, or maybe all you did was worked on cadavers every day, and you never actually got to help people. That'd be terrible, right? Like, nobody wants to do that. I know for me it was awful. Yet this is exactly what's happening in the church today. We're really, really good at practicing. We come to church for 5, 10, 15, 40 years. We listen to Christian music. We know our Bibles. Yet we never get on the field and play. We never experience the joy of getting in the game, sharing the good news with a neighbor or a coworker or even our kids. We just practice. We've become spectators. We're going to leave it up to the church to do that, the professionals. And it's killing the church in America. This is the thing that I want my kids to get. This is what I want you to get. That God has a call on their life. That God has a dream for them. Maybe it's going to be, maybe one of them will be a pastor or a missionary, but maybe it's to be a nurse or a business person or a doctor. Probably not a doctor unless they get Natalie's genes. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what it is. It's not about what we do. It's about how we do it. You see, it's not that we have a job and we have our ministry. It's not that I have a family and I have a ministry. Your job, your family, your school, where you do life is your ministry. Wherever you are is your ministry. And we're missing out on the joy of living in that. We're not in the game. We're just watching. We're just spectators. So we don't want to practice, right? We don't want to come to church. You know, we do that thing at the end of the message. If you're new here, it's kind of, probably feels weird to you, but we do that ready, break thing, remember? And that symbolizes that we've gotten the game plan, that we've been equipped, and now we're to take it out into the world to share our world. The people in our sphere using our unique gifts that the Spirit has given us. You see, God has a plan for you, and He has a plan for you, and He has a plan for me. He has a plan for us to be equipped and to do the ministry ourselves. We got to get off the sidelines. So we want to use our gifts to build each other up, to build our body inside the church. And we also have to be bold enough to be ambassadors outside these walls. You know, we never want to be so focused on inside the church that we forget to look outside. That's where our primary focus is that we want to be outside these walls, right? Turn to 2 Corinthians. Let's see what the word says. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. All right. Man, it is hard to find stuff in this little writing. Okay. I've been using my phone now for years, and so my poor Bible is, I'm not used to it. Therefore, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's you, if you call yourself a believer, you are in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us to the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Let's read that one more time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore, so here it is, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making us an appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making an appeal through us. That's pretty weighty. Like if you think about that, God has chosen you as an ambassador to carry the good news. Not Jay, not Brian, not Curtis, not anybody who's on staff, but us, the saints. It's us. It is the saints that are supposed to be doing this. And if you're living life, no matter what you're doing, you should feel this weight of, I don't know if it's a responsibility, but it should be out of love, because you know the good news and the people around you don't. And I know if you're here for the first time and you're just trying to figure this out, like you're not sure about church, and I understand this message may not speak to you, which is actually okay, because the sooner that you realize that church isn't for you to come and to be entertained, that church isn't a spectator sport, the better off you're going to be. I mean, can you imagine if you showed up to a football game And the people in charge are like, man, I'm glad you're here. Here's the TV camera. Can you guys help us out? Or if you showed up and they were like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Would you set up the chairs? Or even worse, can you imagine you showed up to a football game and all of a sudden the people in charge were like, oh, glad you're here. A bunch of the guys who are playing and a bunch of the people who are coming to the game, they all have these kids and they're in the back. And so during the game, would you go back there and love on them and teach them about football? Right? Like, that's what happens in church. Football is a spectator sport. Church is not a spectator sport. If you're not serving in some capacity, or if you're not being an ambassador for Christ in your sphere, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your job, then you're doing it wrong. And we're doing it wrong. We've been doing it wrong. And if you're brand new to this, or if you're in a spot in your life where you're kind of, you're beat down or you're hurting, like this is not for you. This is a time for you to just come and rest. But if you've been in church for a while and you know the deal, like we need to be serving each other and loving on each other and discipling one another. I had a crazy, crazy D-line coach. Guy was nuts. But he had all these great one-liners. But one of them was that there's no growth without pain. And the reality is that that's really true, as I found it in business, in my walk with Christ, that there is no growth without discomfort. If we want to grow as a church, and I don't mean by numbers at all. I mean, if we really want to grow spiritually, if we truly want to make disciples, then we have to get uncomfortable. We have to get out of our boxes. We have to get out of our comfort zones, and we've got to start investing in other people's lives, our next-door neighbor's lives, the people we work with, that lonely kid in class, the people in this church. Mom and dads, your kids. We cannot leave it up to the church. It's not the church's job. Their job is to equip the saints. And we are the saints. And I know it's hard. I know it's messy. It feels like it's getting harder all the time. There's so much noise out there. You know, I don't know if you were here the last couple weeks, but Jay had a couple great messages. And he talked a little bit about this noise. He talked a little bit. He didn't call it Social Dilemma, but if you haven't seen that, by the way, it's a Netflix series, Social Dilemma. Please watch it. Watch it with your kids or your grandkids. Even if you're not on Social Dilemma, it'll help you understand what your kids are going through, what your grandkids are going through. It might help you understand a little bit more about yourself and what's going on in your own world if you are on it. But the reality is that those things, first and foremost, those things are causing these incredible insecurity in our kids' lives and our lives. And on a broader scale, it's causing this huge division, this crazy division. It's unbelievable. And I'm not going to go down that whole rabbit hole today. All I'm going to say is that we have got to stop putting so much importance on the things that are not eternal. We got to stop worrying about so much about, you know, who is sitting in the White House and start worrying more about who's sitting on our throne. We got to honor God. We need to use His word as a litmus test and not what a post on social media says or what some news anchor tells us. I know the world seems crazy. It's not easy. You know, this right here, this building, this is not church, right? Church is out there. This is where we huddle up. This is where we get the game plan. This is where we come together to be recharged and to love on one another. Especially want to love on those people who come through those doors who don't know them, on those people who walk through those doors who are hurting. But we don't want to wait. We don't want to wait for those people to come here, right? We want to go find them. That's our job, is to go find them. And it's our job to come together and to disciple one another. The ones who are mature in our faith to disciple the ones that are new in their faith. That's God's plan. That's how He wanted to grow His church. That's what He set in motion 2,000 years ago. And it's still His plan today. And so I just want to challenge all of us to find out, if you don't know what your gifts are, find out what your gifts are. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary. Maybe that's your calling. Maybe that's God's call in your life, and it is. That is awesome. But wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you do life, that is your ministry. We want to start living in that joy. And if you will, there'll be this. There's joy to being in the game, to not sitting on the sidelines. And so let's stop watching. As a church of Jesus, we need to start living. We need to start being in the game. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. I thank you for what You're doing across the world. I thank You for our brothers and sisters in Toronto, Jeff and Gemma. Just ask a special blessing over them as they grow that church and as they stepped out in faith and have just leapt out to bring the good news to those in Toronto. We pray for our brothers and sisters over in the Philippines, the Bukalo tribe, as they're way more shut down than we are, Lord. So I just pray that Your hand would be on them. I pray that You would continue to use them in a mighty way. I pray that we wouldn't just sit back, Lord, that we wouldn't just sit back and wait for others to do the ministry that You've given us. Help us to be bold. That's what I pray, Lord. I pray that 2021, that we would be bold in our faith, that we wouldn't wait for somebody else to share Your good news. We love You. We thank You. We give You this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I forget. I never got to do that. So, all right, we got to play. We know what we're going to do, right? We're going out there on ready break. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Ready? All right.